So hello everyone. Welcome to this week's W3C CCG meeting. So today our main topic, we actually invited Dan Yamamoto, Kazue Sako, Shigeya Suzuki, and Yuji Suga to come here and present the linked database verifiable credential with selected disclosures on the acceptability and predicate proofs. So before we get to this main agenda, just want to do some admins first, but want to thank them in advance for jumping on here because it's actually 1 a.m. Japan time. So so this is definitely quite an honor for them to actually join us as W3C CCG here today. All right, so a quick agenda. Just want to do some quick reminders for the Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct reminder. At the end of the day, you know, I think we've been doing very well. Just make sure that we remain respectful to one another. Never seen heated, you know, kind of disrespectful arguments in this channel before, but just want to do a quick reminder again. All right. IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. So if you have any questions about that, just reach out to any of the co-chairs. All right, these calls are recorded, and it's automatically transcribed, and we try to publish the transcription within a couple of days. We use the GG chat to queue speakers, so you can type in Q plus to add yourself to the queue, or Q minus to remove it. And you can do Q question mark to see who is in the queue. All right, let's get to the introductions and reintroductions. Anyone who's new to the... All right, Greg?
Hi, I've been hanging out on the channel for a while, but most of my work has been on some of the signature stuff. And in particular, I've been working on with the DIF and the IETF folks on BBS signatures. So particularly interested in this call. And I do have some demos that you can try if you want to get more into BBS signatures, which offer selective disclosure. And so that's why I'm particularly interested in this call. So if you have any questions about BBS, or in particular, I have a JavaScript implementation that's up on NPM, just ask me a question. But real interested in this. Glad to be having this topic presented. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, Greg. And then I probably would like to follow up with you later, maybe this week, to see if we could schedule a session on BBS signatures later this year. Yeah.
Great.
Sounds good. All right. Dan, do you mind kind of introduce yourself a little bit since you're the main speaker today? Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I'm new to this CCG. And so, yeah, I'm Dan Yamamoto in Japan. I'm kind of a senior engineer in a Japanese internet service provider. And my current mission is about this kind of verifiable credential, in particular linked-based verifiable credential with zero knowledge proof and some advanced cryptographic techniques. And I started my work with my co-authors, like Professor Sako and Yuji Suga, and in 2021. So, and I attended a few IIW to make some presentations. So some of you guys already know about our work, but yeah, I'm happy to come here to make today's presentation about BBS Plus signatures. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. And Kazue, do you mind actually introduce yourself a little bit? Thank you.
Oh, sure. So following up on Dan's introduction, my name is Kazue Sako. I'm now teaching at Waseda University. Before that, I worked for a company called NEC, which is a big IT company in Japan. I've been to IIW. I organized Real World Crypto last week in Tokyo. I'm not sure how many of you were here, that's RWC is a big conference hosted by IACR. And last week I was also at IETF. That was in Yokohama. Maybe that's all I want to say for now.
No, thank you. Thank you. It's the honor for you guys to join us. And sorry to call on you, Shigeya. Do you mind, and hopefully I pronounce your name correctly, but do you mind actually unmute and introduce yourself a little bit?
Hi, I'm Shigeya Suzuki. I'm part of the BFF Credential Working Group. And also, I'm affiliated with KU University and also White Project, which is hosted the IETF meeting last week. And of course, particularly interested in the verified credential to use in various fields. And I attended once or twice in the past to the CCG, and I'm subscribed to CCG since a long time ago. But due to the time conflict, I'm not attending a CCG, and I have a willingness to do, but unfortunately, I have restrictions on how I can use that. So thank you very much for inviting me to join part of the discussions.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's 1 a.m. in Japan, so I totally understand. And lastly, Yuji, do you mind actually unmute and introduce yourself a little bit? I think you're on mute. All right. I think... you know, I'm sorry that I just call on people all the time, but but anyway, any other introductions and reintroductions? Okay, all right. Next, we have announcements and reminders. Any announcements and reminders? Kalia, please.
Just quickly, Internet Identity Workshop is coming up in 2 weeks. If you have not registered, please do so because we are likely to sell out. And then more importantly, I'm working with folks in Zurich to bring an unconference with the same format that we use at IIW to Europe, the Digital Identity Unconference. Europe DICE happening June 7 to 9 in Zurich. So, if you are based in Europe, please consider joining us there. And if you work with people who are in Europe, please encourage them to consider joining us there. Thank you.
Thank you, Kalia. All right, Christopher?
Yes, if you hadn't heard it yet, the next rebooting Web of Trust is September 18th through 22nd in Cologne, Germany. This is where we work on papers and projects and work together to ship them before the end of the event, or at least the first draft. And we're also having a publication day on April 13th as a virtual event for the six, hopefully seven papers that have gone final since the last one. So if you're interested in participating in that, look at the go to weboftrust.info. That's all.
Thank you. Thanks, Christopher. Emmanuel, you have the floor.
Thanks, Harrison. Two things. The first one is that the VC JSON schemas work that has been incubated in the CCG has been adopted by the Verifiable Credentials Working Group. I will put a link to that in here. VC JSON schemas. This is a request to the CCG chairs to, make a call for support to move that into the new group. Really what we're looking for we're looking for objections to move that work into the VCWG since they already accepted it as a work item up to the chairs on when to schedule that. The second item is that at IETF 116, I was able to present some of the work that we've been doing in this group for the last couple of years on multi-formats. If you use DidKey, if you use verifiable credentials, their multi-formats show up in those things. And the IETF has given us a space to standardize that work, potentially as a mini working group or the independent submissions track. If you're interested in following this work, I will put a link to the email mailing list in here. There will be discussions starting this week on that mailing list about whether we should do a mini working group at IETF or if we should just take it independent standards track. So please join if you would like to help move multi-formats forward. That's it.
Thank you, Manu. Any other announcements and reminders? Okay. What about updates on the work items? All right. So let's get to the main agenda. Again, we're very, very honored to have Dan, Kazue, Shigeya, and Yuji to present on the topic of linked database verifiable credentials with selected disclosures on linkability and predicate proofs. Actually, just want to give a quick shout out to Christopher too. Actually, I was chatting with Christopher about our content calendar, and then he's the one who actually introduced Dan, Kazue, and others to us. So a quick shout out to him. As we know, selected disclosure on linkability, predicate proofs, and these kind of concepts are important topics in our community. So very, very happy to have Dan and others actually take the time to stay up until like 1, 2 a.m. Japan time to give this talk. So let's give them a quick shout out, virtual claps, and I think the floor is yours, Dan.
Thank you for your introduction. But by the way, I found Manu was on the queue. Is it okay to continue my presentation or should we check the Manu's?
Manu, do you have any comments?
Yeah, it's totally fine. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll share my screen. And also I put the link to today's slides. So if you wanna to direct check it, yeah, please use it. And okay, I try to share my this one. Okay, can you see my slides?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So yeah, this work is joint work with my coworker Yuji Suga and Professor Sako, and all about linked database verifiable credentials with selective disclosure and linkability and predicate proofs. So today's talk consists of four parts. The first one will show our vision and the kind of novel use cases, and then try to explain the detail about our construction and the result about the security and privacy analysis, and show some small implementations. Okay, so at first, our vision is about like this linked data with verifiability and privacy that must augment our digital identity. So I think, linked data with zero knowledge proof has a very big opportunity for all of us to augment our digital identity. I will show the concrete use case to explain this further. And today's talk is about the building block for this kind of vision. So linked database verifiable credentials corresponds to the notion that we can semantically assemble and prove interrelated claims. And with selective disclosure, so we can prove these claims without revealing unnecessary data. So selective disclosure can provide some kind of the data minimization features for us that is really critical for our privacy enhancing motivations. And also we focus on unlinkability. So if we can achieve unlinkability, then we can prove our claims without revealing any correlatable factors like digital signature or any other correlatable identifiers. And also we focus on predicate proofs because that enables us to prove various relations among revealed or unrevealed linked data. So it provides some kind of flexibility for our verifiability and privacy. So I'd like to show some small example use case to illustrate such kind of our vision. So in this use case, a holder is a person whose name is John Smith, and this sample verifiable credential is a kind of vaccination credential. So this graph diagram shows the linked data in this linked database verifiable credential. So this verifiable credential has a credential subject. Subject is a person whose name is John Smith, and John Smith is patient of some vaccination, some event which is held on April 4th in 2022. And in this vaccination, some specific vaccine is used for this person, John Smith, and its vaccine has some specific identifier like this one, V99. So this identifier identifies some specific vaccine which was used in this vaccination. So this kind of graph data is encoded into this verifiable credential, and some government already signed using, for example, BBS Pass signature to make this credential verifiable and its authenticity. So then let's assume some verifier like airport gateway says, hey, John Smith, verifier doesn't know his name. So verifier just says, prove that you got vaccinated using some authorized vaccine after April 2022. If this holder gets this kind of request, then this holder tries to show at first using this verifiable credential, but this credential doesn't include any authorized status about this vaccine. So in this case, this holder tries to get the additional information about this vaccination to answer this verifier's request. So in this example use case, this holder's agent tries to fetch this V#99 as a URL to get the second verifiable credential from some vaccine info provider. And in this second credential, we can find this vaccine's name, for example, and manufacturer and authorized status. So if we use the second credential, then we can show this vaccine is authorized in some authorized vaccine info provider. So now this holder can combine these two verifiable credentials because all of these credentials are represented as linked data. So this kind of linking data is very easily very easy. So we just link these two credentials and to compose one single verifiable presentation to show, to answer this verifies question. But at first we can use selective disclosure feature functionality. We can unreveal all the unnecessary information to answer this question. So, for example, this person's name is not required to for this question. So we can hide this person's name, and also we can hide all these identifiers because these identifiers are also not required to answer this question. So all these unnecessary information can be hidden using selective disclosure functionality. And at this moment, we also use some specific functionality of BBS plus signature that is proof of equality. So this function is really important to enable our linked data with zero knowledge proof. So if we can use this kind of proof of equality, then we can hide these original vaccine identifiers, but we can only prove that these hidden identifiers are have the same original value, same original identifier. So we can prove these two nodes corresponds to the single same URI without revealing the exact identifier. So we can construct the partially hidden linked data using this kind of functionality of BBS plus signature. And also we can hide the signature value and using some non-interactive zero knowledge proof. Also, this is also a built-in function of BBS plus signature. So it helps us to achieve some kind of unlinkability. And finally, we can use some additional zero knowledge proof system like ZK-SNARK or bullet proofs to achieve this kind of predicate proof. So we don't have to reveal the exact vaccination date. We can just use such kind of general purpose zero knowledge proof system to then we can show this vaccination is held just after April 20. To 22. So okay. So now all this information are assembled into the verifiable presentation, and that is given from holder to verifier. Then now that this holder can prove that I got vaccinated using authorized vaccine after April 2022. Without revealing this person's name or this vaccine's name or this vaccine's any other detailed information. And also this after April 2022 part can be approved without any exact vaccination date. So all these four features are necessary, important to realize this kind of example use case scenario. Okay, so that's all about our vision and our future use case using our building block. So let's move on to the construction part or much more detailed part. So okay, I'll show you the brief introduction of our how to construct such kind of zero knowledge proof friendly linked database verifiable credentials. So our approach is, our construction is heavily based on existing work in this CCG, which is BBS Signature 2020, which is was called as LDP BBS Plus or LDP BBS Signatures. So, and with some additional encoding scheme. We call it a term-wise encoding. Why we call it term-wise encoding is will be shown later. So selective disclosure functionality is realized using BBS plus signatures with this kind of term-wise encoding. And unlinkability is achieved by BBS plus signature only, and proof of equality is achieved by BBS plus signatures with term-wise encoding. And finally, predicate proof can be realized by BBS plus signatures with this term-wise encoding, as well as general purpose zero knowledge proof systems like bullet proofs. But currently, our prototype only support positive integer range proofs. So here I described predicate proof, but at this moment our prototype doesn't support general predicate proof. We can only support positive integer range proof. So okay, BBS plus signature, you guys already know about it, but I just try to explain it very briefly. BBS plus signature is a kind of multi-message signatures with built-in zero knowledge proof system for selective disclosure and unlinkability, and now currently in progress of standardization by IRTF CFRG. And BBS plus signatures has mainly four functions, but here I show the only three functions, because these three functions are the key components for our construction. The first one is about the signing. Issuer can use BBS plus signature to sign the multiple messages at once and with this issued secret key to get a signature for these multiple messages. And then holder can derive a kind of proof from this signature using all the messages and issued public key and this issued signature with this kind of disclosed indexes. So these indexes identifies which messages should be revealed or unrevealed. So if holder give all this information to BBS plus proof generation algorithm, then this kind of proof can be obtained from this algorithm. And then finally, verifier can use this proof with issuer's public key and only disclosed messages. Then still, verifier does not need full messages. Verifier only needs disclosed messages to verify its authenticity. And using this proof verify algorithm, verifier can easily distinguish these messages are originally signed by this issuer or not. So that is valid or invalid. But here, all these input messages are assumed as an array of scalars or integers in the core BBS plus signature schemes. So here, what we want to sign is all about the linked data. So here we need to encode JSON LD or RDF data to a scalar array for using this BBS plus signature for our linked database credentials. So here we try to introduce some kind of specific encoding scheme named term-wise encoding to transform from this kind of JSON LD data into these array of scalars. And term-wise encoding is I show the detail of this term-wise encoding. When issuer issues this kind of verifiable credential, which is the same as the previous example, case, John Smith's example. Let's assume this is a draft of verifiable credential to be signed. So here we don't have any signature yet. And at first, we have to canonicalize to get serialized ENQUAD's data from this abstract graph data or JSON-LD represented linked data. Using some specific canonicalization algorithm, one of the specific examples is currently discussed in W3C RCH working group. And we can obtain this kind of RDF ENQUAD representation using such canonicalization algorithm. So here we can see that this graph part, E1 vaccine, E1 state is blah, blah, blah. This part can be represented in the first quads here. E1 state is this date. And E1 has a vaccine which is identified by V99. And this second quad represents this specific part of this linked data. So this ENQUAD representation is completely equivalent information of this the above linked data. And then we just split these quad and ENQUAD data into RDF terms, just like this. Then we can get these array of RDF terms. And finally, we use these RDF terms as an array of Scala messages to get the BBS Plus signature sigma using BBS Plus signing algorithm with issued secret key and set this proof value into the verifiable credential that is results in the final issued verifiable credential. So this is a kind of brief introduction of our term-wise encoding. And but if we use this kind of term-wise encoding, then this encoding enables us to hide every RDF terms using selective disclosure functionalities. So yeah, this kind of term-wise encoding is really important to realize our selective disclosure scheme. So this is the issuing part. And then if a holder tries to compose a verifiable presentation using our scheme, then a holder first tries to and if in this scenario, if let's assume holder wants to remove his name and all these correlating factor, correlating identifiers using some kind of randomly generated pseudonyms like X1, X2, X3, X4. So their verifier, disclosed verifiable credential should be formed as this right side part. So all these identifiers are masked by some pseudonyms and all these unnecessary information are already removed from the linked data. So this holder wants a verifier to get this disclosed verifiable credentials. But in this case, if if verifier tries to canonicalize this disclosed credential, then the verifier will see, will get this kind of ENQUAD RDF terms. So yeah, the problem here is the original data layout and this verifier's viewing layout will be completely differed from each other due to this kind of selective disclosure and introducing introduction of pseudonyms. So we this holder have to give some additional information for verifier to recover to rearrange all these shuffled RDF terms into the original data layout. So the holder just compute this kind of quad to quad mapping from to compare these original layout and the future layout, disclosed layout, to get, for example, the disclosed first quad corresponds to the original third quad, and the second disclosed quad must correspond to the first original quad. So yeah, this holder can easily get this kind of quad to quad mapping and the original number of issued quads. So this kind of information it will be very useful for verifier to resume this kind of original layout from disclosed verifiable credentials. So, and finally, these disclosed indexes and equivalence classes are identified, and then we can use BBS Plus ProofGen algorithm to get some non-interactive zero knowledge proof to verify all these disclosed credential is actually issued by the authentic issuer or not. And we also add these quad mapping and the total number of issued quads with this BBS Plus generating proof. And then all these information will be encoded into the proof value in verifiable presentation to for verifier. And finally, verifier uses all these information to resume these original layout from the disclosed verifiable credential. And now use the BBS Plus proof verifier algorithm with this non-interactive zero knowledge proof to distinguish or this information should be trusted or not using this algorithm. Okay, so that's the very brief introduction of our termoids constructions. And we already analyzed in terms of security and privacy for our construction in the handwriting way. So we have not done any formal verification yet. We just defined a kind of game-based security notions of unforgeability and anonymity according to the existing cryptographic work presented in some cryptographic conference, and already proved that our construction is unforgeable if the underlying anonymous credential, for example, BBS-based scheme, is unforgeable. So if BBS can be trusted as unforgeable, then our construction can be also be trusted as unforgeable. That is our first security proof. And the second proof is about unlinkability or privacy notion. This second proof is a slightly weaker than the one we originally intended or planned. So yeah, the second proof shows that our construction is a kind of weakly anonymous or weakly unlinkable if the underlying anonymous credential is fully anonymous. So yeah, I don't have enough time to explain all the details about this analysis. So if you want to, if you are interested in details, then please check our article about it, which can be downloaded from this specific link. Again, our model and analysis do not take into consideration any predicate proof part yet. So only these results is all about the BBS plus with time-wise encoding without predicate proofs. That is only one single caveat for this analysis part. And okay, I just skip the detail about weak anonymity, and we provided prototype implementations as open source software in GitHub, and all these implementations are heavily based on existing work from Matter and Hyperledger community. So we implemented a prototype libraries to construct our time-wise encoded BBS plus signatures. And also we published some playground site. You can check this URL and to open this kind of playground site, then where you can sign and verify our LDBase credential and show and verify presentations on the browser with selective disclosure and linkability, and already a very partially implemented range proof is available on this site. So if you are interested.
Ken, do you mind taking a question from Christopher?
Sorry, I didn't.
I can wait. I can wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, only. Yeah, please, Dan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Only one single, two slides are left. So, okay. All these implementations are already published in GitHub, and our ongoing work is about ZK Sparkle. So, what we try to create here is about the presentation request described as Sparkle. So, we try to create some mechanism to represent the presentation request as Sparkle query. And in this model, we can get a Sparkle result with verifiable presentation that enables the query requester to verify this query result is authorized or not, or trusted or not. So yeah, this is ongoing work using our libraries and applications already mentioned. Okay, so this is the final slide. So yeah, we constructed LDBase VC scheme with selective disclosure and linkability and predicate proofs with some use cases and security and privacy analysis and prototype implementations. And our future work includes some kind of blind signing for holder binding and much more general predicate proofs, or much more, much stronger anonymity beyond the current weak anonymity or weak unlinkability. And maybe in the future, we will try to do some kind of formal verification or something. Okay, currently that's it all about our current work. So thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Dan.
I cannot see the
I'll moderate, don't worry about it. So
okay,
sir, yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Dan, very much, and team, for coming today. I've been pushing for a long time that we have to be a lot more serious about selective disclosure. I mean, I think we have now a range of different approaches to selective disclosure, ranging from, you know, hash-based disclosure of a list in SDJOT, hash-based disclosure for JSON-LD, and we have the ability to do it with trees, with Gordian envelope, and all three of these, you know, do not have some of the unlinkability capabilities that this is. And then, at the, other end of the spectrum are not only these kinds of selective disclosure, but also there are ways to bind this to things like DID documents and such. So I really am pushing that, we explore these more, and that we begin to get to the point where we can mandate, not just, say, oh, this is an optional suite, but mandate that, our future constructions must have some form of selective disclosure, even if it's just a simple one. Because I think anything less than that is a real human rights and privacy issue, as you see with this example with vaccine credentials and other healthcare data. And Manu mentioned that, the ability to aggregate data, et cetera, is really important for health, but it's also really risky for privacy. So I'm hoping we'll have more discussion about these types of things. And, I'm hoping that the CCG can, dive into some of these specifics in the future and really move toward, saying this is a minimum requirement that we have some form of selective disclosure. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Phil, you're next. Phil?
Yes. I didn't hear hear your voice. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I have a really perhaps naive question, but I'm wondering what prevents the second credential with the particular information about the vaccine from being something borrowed from a third party and not really the individuals. And I'm wondering if the N-quad term-wise construction that you've described is what is preventing that sort of connection of a second credential to the first, where the second credential is really from a third party that is not the individual of the first credential, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, thank you. Then I... Yes, the second credential is... second credential is originally completely independent from this holder, this person. So this is a kind of open data or linked open data at the first moment. But in this use case, this vaccine data is connected to this identity part of this person, John Smith. So now this vaccine is now not a complete open data. This vaccine data has some specific information related, tightly related to this person. So if this John Smith want to hide his, he got some vaccine named Osam vaccine or some manufacturer in some privacy reason of this person, then we should respect this person's such will to hide all the unnecessary information. So if we use our turmoil encoding, then we can hide these vaccines identifiers and vaccine names and vaccine manufacturers part, and only shows this vaccine is authorized. That's all. Then we can prove all this partial information using our time-wise encoded BBSPAR signatures. So this is a kind of a useful application in some specific scenario. This scenario might be not so appropriate to describe this notion, but I believe there must be some other real use case scenarios to really require this kind of partially hidden open data connected to the someone's identity scenarios. So I hope this is this is a kind of answer to your question.
I understand the selective disclosure part and the hiding of particular pieces of it. I think you were saying that the proof method also proves that the credential subject in the first credential is the credential subject in the second credential. Is that right? In other words, if I am mm-hmm. the person in the X2 and your person, you're a separate person that has this vaccine, what prevents mm-hmm. me from using that the vaccine that you got as my claim that I have gotten it when, and I'm not selectively preventing disclosure of these other pieces of information. I still want to make sure that it's that original person is the one who got the vaccine that is now being linked to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand. Okay. That is all about the holder binding feature, which is currently work in progress, unfortunately, but if we can implement some kind of holder binding feature into this scenario, then this part should be bound to this holder. So in some specific representations encoded in this verifiable presentation. So, at that moment, verifier can know, okay, this presentation is bound to this person. So this holder is a person who got vaccinated and used this vaccine. So the main subject is this holder, not this vaccine, can be distinguished using such holder binding function. But at this moment, we couldn't implement completely. So yeah, but near future, I guess, we can provide such holder binding functionalities.
Thank you.
Cool. Manu?
Yeah, two things. I just wanted to say thank you to Dan and Yuji and Kazue for working on this stuff. It's really fantastic work. So thank you. For pushing this stuff forward. For those of you in the community that, are not aware, the BBS signature stuff is expected to go into last call at IETF over the summer. That's basically where we're effectively saying we're done with the base construction, at the cryptographic layer. As many of you know, the Verifiable Credentials Working Group has adopted the BBS crypto suite that builds on top of that, that uses this mechanism that Dan just presented today, or subsets the mechanism that Dan presented today. So I just wanted to make it clear to everyone in the group that this is a very real thing that is going to be that is already on standards tracks at IETF and W3C, and we expect it to be, a standardized probably early next year. To mid next year at some point. So that's great. That's the first item. The second item goes to, Phil, your question, in what was said in the chat, as well as Dan's response to that, is that in the base construction, BBS is so good at providing kind of pseudonymity or anonymity that if you were to steal that credential, you could impersonate the individual. And so there are other things that are required, to kind of rebind that in ways that don't make it very easy to steal the credential and impersonate. So as Dan was mentioning, there's this holder binding stuff that's being talked about. There's, tying to a cryptographic key. That's an addition there. And of course, when you start doing things like that, you start losing some of the anonymity aspects. And so the quest is to find the right balance for the use case. There are a lot more considerations that you have to take into account when you're trying to provide this kind of unlinkability and selective disclosure that you never had to think about when you're doing the kind of the standard digital signatures that we've been doing for, many decades now. So that's just something to keep in mind, that there's no, when you get into this kind of space, there is no one right answer. You effectively have this toolbox of cryptographic primitives that you can put together in certain ways. And they tend to be very specific to the type of use case that you're trying to achieve. But the good news here is that fundamentally the basis, these cryptographic toolkit things are going to have global standards behind them, in the next 2 years, which means that then we can start deploying them, in, real world production use cases. That's it.
Thank you, Manu.
Thank you.
Any other questions? And you want to make some concluding comments?
Yeah. Thank you for your patience. I'm not so fluent in English, I'm afraid, but yeah, thank you for your patience and great comments and questions. I'm really happy to come here and yeah, I will try to keep contributing to the world and this community and so forth. So yeah, thank you.
No, thank you. I think your English is perfect. So thank you for taking the time. And thanks again, Dan, Kazue, Shigeya, Yuji, for actually coming here late at night. I think it's like almost 2 a.m. In Japan. So thank you. Thank you for coming here at W3C CCG today. All right, so this concludes this week's W3C CCG meeting. If you want to see what's coming, just go to the content calendar that I sent out every week. All right, have a good one. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.